2 Samuel chapter number 23, and I didn't even realize till tonight that I had preached in 2 Samuel last night and again tonight, and I have prayed, and I have prayed, and I know you have too, and this is what God's laid on my heart, and I don't claim to be anything but who I am. And I'm me. Whether that's good or bad, I am me. Some like that, and some don't. Believe it or not, some don't. And I know it's hard to fathom, but some don't like it. But I hope you know. I really do. I hope you know that my desire and my burden is for you young folks to get help. My desire is for you young people to get help. And some of you got good churches. Some of you got good homes where you get encouraged. But even in that atmosphere, the devil can come in. And the devil can, if you let him, take your victory. And I sure like to see us leave this week a whole lot higher and equipped for the battle ahead. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 23, verse number 11. Are you nervous or just me? Just me, somebody said. Okay. Well, all right. I'm the odd man out. 2 Samuel, where was I preaching from? Oh, chapter 23, verse number 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agag, the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood. I like that. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. Hallelujah. And slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Can I read that one more time? But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord, amen, it wasn't his daddy. It wasn't the king. It wasn't some prince of the country. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Talking to some at lunch today, some folks from Stone's Chapel, and talking to them about some things that have happened, cancer and different sicknesses that have been in their lives. But Tommy, I was praying about this, and I thought, and the Lord wrought a great victory. When we've done all we know to do, we've stood, we fought, and we defended, and it seems like we still can't get over it. The Lord just seems to step in and brings the victory. Hallelujah. And I'm glad tonight that the Bible says, amen, that if God be for us, who can be against us? And greater is he that's in me. There's something inside of me. It's not just me, but there's something inside of me, amen, that's greater than this world. Hallelujah. Would you stretch forth your hands tonight? Ask God to help us in the remainder of this service. I know some of you are Bible scholars, and you will probably correct me later. Go figure. I mean, you would think, there wouldn't be anybody here that would catch a mistake. And I do want to apologize. I did rock the boat last night, and I want to apologize. Mother Hubbard does not live in a shoe. I got that mixed up, and I'm not up to par on my nursery rhymes, but I'll be studying that out and trying to get back with you later. But she does not live in a shoe. I'm thinking she might have had some hardship along the way, and might have had to move into one, but they said she didn't. But I was praying about this, and some time back, And I'm not going to tell you no lie. Some things I came with this week. I mean, some things I came prepared to preach. And tonight was one of them. Last night wasn't, but tonight was one of them. And I really felt like several weeks ago that God spoke this to my heart. And I know we have a sister here from Panama, Tecumen, Panama, and she is speaks great English, but she also speaks great Spanish. So I just want to kind of be diversified tonight. And there's a lot of disputing whether this was a bean patch or a barley patch. I read after different folks. Some said it was barley, and some said it was beans. Well, I'm going with beans tonight. Is that all right? And if God had helped me, and just throwing a little English and Spanish into it, if God had helped me tonight, I'd like to preach on fighting for frijoles. Amen. Could you help me a little while I try to preach that? Fighting for frijoles. And for those of you who don't know what frijoles are, that's beans. So fighting for beans, amen. Don't sound like much, but when it's your beans, it makes a difference, amen. Amen, when it's your bean field, it makes all the difference in the world. I was thinking about this scripture as I prayed, and I began to look at it and begin to meditate on the Word of God. A lot of commentary reading the Bible doesn't give us a lot of detail about this man Shammah. He's mentioned again in 2 Chronicles, I believe the 11th chapter, as one of the mighty men of valor that was in David's army. I know that he was among the top three mentioned. I don't know exactly all about his life. Don't know exactly where he lived. It's speculated it was this town or that town. But I know he did something that made the writers of that day, the historians that took down the mighty men and their deeds that they'd done and ranked him right up to the top. And when they begin to write about the mighty men of David, those had their hand clave to the sword, those that slayed the giants, amen, those that slayed many men and stood for what they believed in the midst of all this, they talk about one man that just stood in a bean patch and basically said, I've had enough. I've ran. I've backed up. I've watched others back up. And now I'm just going to stand my ground and fight for what is mine. I don't know if you have realized it tonight, but the church is under attack. Amen. I mean the Bible-believing church. I'm not talking about this worldly bunch. Amen. That goes along with everything. Everybody's all right. Everybody's on their way to heaven. Don't matter how you believe, how you dress, how you act. But I'm talking about the holiness crowd. Amen. Our doctrine. Amen. Our beliefs and our very foundation is under attack. Well, amen, I know some would probably say, well, I don't feel that, Brother Yeomans. Well, maybe you need to get back down and pray through and get you some convictions about you. Amen, begin to live the Word of God. And when you do, you will see that there is a devil that fights the truth with everything that it has. Amen. I begin to read about this man, and they said that probably the name of the city where they thought Shammah lived, and I can't pronounce it, so I won't say it tonight, but they said it was an unwalled city and subject to attack. It wasn't like Jericho that had those walls that some say was 30 feet high. 30 feet thick, that's a big wall. Oh, but when God got in it, all it took was a bunch of Israelites to march around it, amen, on that seventh time and make a shout, and the wall fell down. I don't even believe they had to step up to get over. It was fell down flat, and they walked right into victory. Amen. But here they were, and the Bible begins to talk how that they planted that crop, and how when they planted that crop, that the Philistines would come in and take what they had planted. They would
it so, and the Philistines would reap. One man said that when the Philistines appeared, amen, the Israelites disappeared. I want to tell you tonight, I don't advocate violence, and I'm not about going to fisticuffs or fighting, whatever you want to call it. But I do tell you this, that John the Baptist said, the kingdom of heaven, amen, suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Amen. When Paul began to warn Timothy, he said, endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm telling you, we're at war. I said, we're at war. It's not a time to be complacent. It's not a time to be passive. But I believe we got something that's worth fighting for.
Amen. Amen. I begin to read and pray. And just bear with me. This is how I get it. And this ain't nobody's commentary but mine. So if you fall out with anybody, fall out with me. Amen. I began to pray about this, Brother Tim. And one of the first things that came to my mind, Brother Jack Jones, is experiences that I had in my life. Amen. One of the first thoughts that came was that they witnessed, or Shammah witnessed his fathers. Amen. About their duty. Well, think about that. When I was a little boy, and still today, my dad loves to plant a garden. I mean, he's got tomatoes. He set out 2,500 tomato plants this year. That's how much he loves a garden. He's got squash and cucumbers. I mean, he's got peas of every sort. Got broccoli. Amen. Everything you think about, he's got. But when I, you know, look at that today, that's pretty, to me, amazing. And it's something special because I realize you can take those things, you can put them up in the freezer, and there's nothing like fresh vegetables. But when I was growing up, I had to get out of the bed on a Saturday morning when I wanted to sleep late. I did not like the butter bean patch. And somebody say, amen. Because some of you young folks don't know probably what a butter bean patch is. Amen. Talk about Walmart and Belk's and JCPenney. I'm talking about going out and working. Hey, we didn't get money around my house unless you worked. Come on now. Say amen. You did your chores. Amen. You did the things that were required of you. And daddy didn't pay you for those things. Amen. Every once in a while they give you something extra and might give you a few dollars for doing that. I'm telling you. Amen. I saw him as he labored, as he taught in the field. Amen. I watched him time and time again. And I mean, it just blew my mind. He'd get out on that old farm all tractor, and he had to work on it more than he plowed on it. He'd plow one time, work 4 or 5 days getting it fixed, and then he'd plow again. He planned it tear up. I mean, had the most trouble and always a working. I thought, how in the world does anybody get enjoyment out of that? He'd talk about how that he got relax on that tractor. I'm thinking you wasn't too relaxed when you was hitting the side of it with a hammer the other day. And so it won't run. It won't work. Piece of junk. Oh, you ain't never done that. Come on now. And I mean, it's got all upset and mad. My daddy ain't saved. I know you're good and sanctified. And you ain't never threw a hissy fit. Amen. Now, I know some of you, so watch out. Amen.
Hallelujah. I seen you get crossed a little bit. Amen. But I was amazed by that. But it didn't mean anything to me, Brother Herschel, because I wasn't one planting it. I wasn't one that had the desire to see it grow. I watched him get up in the morning before work and take them old sprinklers and drag them out through that field and making sure he didn't take down his squash plants, making sure he didn't tip over the tomatoes. And I watched him as he watered and he toiled. I mean, he had a heart for it. And he was rewarded when he reaped the harvest.
Amen.
it was his duty. I didn't feel like it was mine. Amen. I didn't feel like I had any part in it. It was his hobby, his project. But when Daddy said go, you either went or you suffered the consequences. Amen. It was one thing for Mama to get you. But if she ever said, boy, I'm getting your daddy, he might as well hang it up. There's going to be trouble. I remember one Saturday morning, my daddy got us out of bed real early. And he said, I want you boys to pick the butter beans. I mean, he had row after row. And it's about as long as this church, a tabernacle. And you know, butter beans, you have to get down on your knees, have to crawl to get them, every one of them. And he checked behind us to make sure we got them. And we got down there after about 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, we were picking hard. My brother said, this is for the birds. I said, you're right. You're right. Hey, man, I don't care nothing for it neither. He said, it's got to be a better way to pick butter beans. Well, my brother knew how to pull peanuts. Amen. And he had watched somebody. I don't know when he had watched them, but he watched them pull peanuts. I mean, just take the whole vine and all and go with it. And he said, you know what? If we pulled these butter beans instead of picked them, we'd have a lot more success, and we can be able to pick them off in the shade. We pulled every plant in that garden, and we put it in a bucket, took it to the shade. And when my dad pulled up for lunch, there we sat up on the shade with our butter bean plants, and we was picking them off, having a good old time. Well, do you know it ended about 10? Oh, hallelujah. I thought one time it was going to have to call the law. I mean, he wore us out one side and then the other, and then he found a side I didn't even know I had. Amen. But it meant something to him. I said it meant something to him. Amen. He had told in it. It was his duty. Can I tell you something, parents? Your children might not realize it tonight. They might not sense the responsibility. And they might not sense the urgency of the hour. But it's your duty to work the field. It is your duty to take them to church and teach them the way of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. And I don't want to make you mad here on Sunday night, but it gets me. And I know some of you say, well, your girl ain't old enough to know. Amen. I know growing up in my mama's house. I said, I know growing up in my mama's house. And my mom and dad wasn't even saved. And there were certain things my sisters did not wear. Amen. They might have snuck off and changed, but they didn't leave the house looking like that. I said, they didn't leave the house looking like that. Amen. I've heard some say, well, I can't help the way they dress. I can't help the way they look. They live in your house. You buy their clothes. You watch them primp, and you watch them leave. How in the world don't you have a control, amen, over how they dress and how they look when they walk out of your door? Amen. Somebody needs to explain that one to me. I say we have a duty to teach our children a responsibility of holy living. Well, amen. They'll get mad and leave. They won't want to go to church. They won't want to do right. I got mad at a lot of things my dad told me I couldn't do. But looking back, I said, looking back over what he taught me, I realized that he was right. Amen. They're going to look back one day. If you raise him in a godly atmosphere and you keep God at the forefront of the home, they're going to look back and say, you know, amen, Mama was right. Amen. Daddy was right. It pays to live godly. Amen. I mean, I felt a kickback on that. I said, I felt the kickback on that. Amen. People don't want responsibility. They don't want to take the responsibility of how their children act. Amen. That's why they put them off on other people. That's why they give them other things to do. That's why they try to find things to occupy their mind. Why don't you take them to church and let God get a hold to them and get them changed? Amen. Hallelujah. And I'll throw this in free and I'll move on. It amazes me. I said it amazes me how they can get them up, get them dressed, and get them down to a McCamey's concert or a Crab concert and can't make it to Wednesday night prayer meeting. Somebody say amen. I seen some of you frown up on that. You know why? Because that's you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's our duty and our responsibility to be in the house of God and to worship the Lord. It might be our last time. It might be our last night. And we should worship Him with everything that we have.
Amen. You know, those men had to have some feelings about what they planted. I picture that ground being stony. I picture it being very hard to plow. Amen. Dry. Amen. It droughts and here up in those mountainous regions, rocky terrain. I mean, they're having to go through. They didn't have a John Deere. And they didn't have no big fancy equipment. But it was oxes. Amen. It was old timey plows. And they were doing all they could to make do. But when they got ready, I said, when they got ready to reap, here come the enemy and begin to steal what they have. Begin to take that, amen, that they had worked so hard and labored to have. Amen. Can I tell you tonight, we've got enough people that are running from the fight. We've got enough people that have compromised and backed up because the enemy's come in. You don't have to live that way. Amen. Don't you know there's a new way? Don't you know there's easier ways? Don't you know there's methods to have better growth? There's methods to see better crops. I'm going to stick with the old way. I might not be, amen, in a popularity contest. I might not win the top seat. But when it comes down to the end, and I can hear the words, well done thou good and faithful servant, it'll be well worth the effort. I said we don't need to be defeated in this hour.
I mean, churches have been defeated. Families have been defeated because they would not fight or because they gave up on the fight. I've tried everything I can and it don't seem to work. I've talked to them. I've wrestled with them. I've prayed for them. Amen, mama, that's discouraged. Can I tell you to pray on? Amen, it's worth that child's soul. Amen, daddy, that's had it up to here and you don't know what to do. Amen. You keep putting it in them. I said, you keep training them upright. And you keep praying. I said, God will help you. I said, God will help you if we do right.
Amen. Can you imagine the disgust of Shammah? Can you imagine the disgust of the others as they came in and took what they labored for? God, amen. Can you imagine how their hearts sank? Can you imagine, amen, how they became so overwhelmed? I know, amen, some might say it ain't much, but it meant something to them. And no doubt it hurt their heart. It hurt their heart that what they had labored for was gone. I remember some years back, we were in Panama doing a work up on a church in Alma, and we worked every day and toted rock and sand, and on the side of that church there was a pineapple. I always thought pineapples grew in trees, but they don't. They grow out of a bush, and I watched that pineapple as it grew, and they told us that it'll be ready at a certain time, and we were going to be there, and I watched it as it blossomed, grew and grew and grew. I thought about the day I liked pineapple. I thought about the day that we would have the opportunity to cut that pineapple, slice it up and eat it, and enjoy the nectar and the fruit, amen, that we had longed for. But we went up one day and somebody had took my pineapple. I mean, talking about your righteous indignation, getting riled up. You want to stir somebody up, mess with a fat man's food. Amen. You want to have trouble. Amen.
man, I looked at it. I wondered how it's going to taste. But it was gone. Amen. It wasn't there. If you're not careful, if you don't watch out, and you let down your guard, watchman, amen, daddy, you are the watchman of that home. Amen. If you let down your guard, the devil will come right into your house, and he'll take your young folks. He'll take your daughters and your sons, and he'll turn them into people that you will not recognize. He'll destroy their lives. Help us, God, to defend our field.
Amen. Amen. Listen to me, pastors. I said, listen to me, pastors. They might not be your children by blood, but God has entrusted you and me, amen, with souls. And it is our job as a watchman to cry upon the wall against sin. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to make them mad, but I don't want to lose them either. Amen. I said, the devil's so bold, he'll come right into a wholeness church and take wholeness young people that's never been in the world. They don't know what alcohol tastes like. They've never smoked a cigarette. And the devil will come in, entice them right on a church pew and ruin and destroy their lives. We better be careful tonight. Amen. Amen. They worked. They worked. There came a time when Shammah came of age. Amen. There came a time when no doubt Shammah picked up the hoe. Amen. There came a time when Shammah knew what it was to move rocks. Hallelujah. There came a time when no doubt in the lives of those young folks growing up in that day and that era, amen, that they realized that their mom and daddy's done got to the point that they can't work the field anymore. Amen. They've got to the point where they can't wield or yield the shovel like they used to. Amen. And now it went from their duty to his duty. It went from their responsibility to his responsibility. I said, thank God for every man of God. Thank God for every woman of God, saint of God, elder that has plowed the field before me. I thank God for you. Young people, won't you raise your hand and thank God for our elders. Thank God for the men and women that have plowed the field. Amen. I'm proud, and I'm proud for the times that our elder preachers have got up and our row need hoeing, and they go to hoeing and know they're going to suffer. Amen. People are going to talk about them, and there's going to be backbiting, and folks are going to get mad, but they've seen the weeds creeping in. Amen. They've seen the tares, and they say, well, I've got to work. I've got to stop it before it runs. I say, before it runs the field. Amen. But there comes a time when some of the elders, amen, go on, and there lies that hoe. There lies that working utensil. Amen. There lies that thing that can bring us great blessing. It lies unused on the ground. You know what my fear is. You know what my fear is tonight. I looked at Brother Brian, I think it was, and I said, well, it might have been Brother Donnell. Don't remember who it was exactly. And I said, we've got a good bunch of young folk. I believe that tonight. Looking across this congregation, I don't see a bunch of folks, amen, that's wanting to go to the world. I don't see a bunch of folks that's wanting to get out of church whenever they get the opportunity. But I see some young folks, amen, that are wanting to serve God in a day and hour where evil and in morality is on the uprise. Hey, remember, my fear is tonight. My fear is tonight that a lot of you have watched mom and dad hoe. You've watched them shovel. You've watched them rake. But you don't know what it is to do it yourself. I called him, and he said he didn't mind me doing this. Brother Jeremy Morris goes to Brother Randy Webb's church. He's come to this youth camp one time. Years ago, I got a phone call, and I'd preach revival in this area time and time again, Brother Lee Stanton. I preached revival there time and time again. I got a call, and I knew these boys, Nathan, Jeremy, John, and Ben, as all brothers, talented. All of them sang, preach, play. I mean, anything they picked up, they could play. Amazing what God and how God used them. I got a call from the daddy Phil, and he said, pray. Pray for my boy Jeremy. He's not doing good. Said he's gone to the world. Said he's in sin. I thought, Brother Tony, how in the world? Hey, man, they told me how that when he was a young boy, 4 or 5 years old, he'd be up on that platform and said he'd be shouting, got filled with the Holy Ghost. His brother did at a young age. His other brother got filled with the Holy Ghost at a young age. Talked about how those boys would get up and sing and the house would come down. I mean, the Holy Ghost fall, people would shout, how they were requested to come and sing at homecomings. But his daddy called and said, Brother Jim, he ain't doing good. Would you call him, talk to him? I called him, and he said, I began to talk to him to tell right off he wasn't doing well. Amen. I said, Jeremy, you need God. I said, we're having youth camp. Would you like to come? Well, his first excuse was, I have no way. And it's about 14 hours away. I said, now you do. I'll come pick you up. I said, I'll leave right now and I'll be there as soon as I can. I drove all night, got there, picked him up. We got in the car, started back to youth camp. I said, Brother Jeremy, how in the world can a young man that's been raised in church, how in the world can a young man have seen his mama healed? I mean, his mama had this depression so bad that she would just stop and couldn't move. I mean, the devil oppressed her so much that she lay in the bed for weeks on end and not even get up. I mean, he tormented her mind. But one night, God came down. I said, one night God came down and he healed her and touched her and worked a miracle in her life. Amen. I wondered how a young man that saw those things, saw people get saved under the power of God, saw the Holy Ghost fall, how in the world could it go so deep in sin in such a short time? You know what he told me? He said, Brother Jim, I know when my brother Nathan got filled with the Holy Ghost. Now what? It. He said, I watched my brother Ben as he shouted down the aisles and began to speak in tongues. He said, I watched my brother John as he preached his first message behind the pulpit and God anointed him. Amen. Everybody assumed I was saved. Everybody assumed I was a good boy. He said, but I cannot point you to a time in my life where I had an experience with God. I cannot tell you that on June the 6th, July the 4th, or whatever it was, that I picked up the hoe and I said, I'm going to fight in the army of the Lord. Amen. I cannot tell you a time when I said I promised him I'd make him a soldier if he wrote my name. When he said my friends would hate me if he wrote my name. That'll be all right with me. Go ahead and write my name in that book of life. I promised him I'd make him a soldier, but he did not have that point. You know what some of you need tonight? You need an experience. Amen. More than your mama telling you that you're all right. More than somebody patting you on the back and saying you're a good girl. I don't doubt that. But you know what you need to make you stay? You need an experience. You need to get in the altar and dig it out for yourself. Amen. Amen. He had his duty. He was dedicated. How? I said he was dedicated. Amen. I don't see this boy having to be begged to go hoe. I don't see him having to be begged to pick up the shovel and dig out a new plot. Amen. But he's up early in the morning. He's got a desire. I said he's got a desire to see new fruit. He's got a
desire to see God move in his life. I wonder how many young people we have tonight. I don't second doubt your morals. Amen. I'm not questioning whether you don't go here or there. But what I'm wondering tonight is, do you know how to get in touch with God? Do you know how to dig and work it out for yourself?
I remember a story told years ago. I read in a book one time. It said Civil War was going on and the Rebs was getting it pretty bad. So they was getting whipped. It was toward the end of the war. And said they come through. It's tattered, it's torn, and it's wounded. They carried those guns, and even in the midst of war, they kept their heads up high. He said, they come marching through that town. It was on the Confederacy side. And said, it stirred those people up. And said, sitting up under an old oak tree was an elderly old man. Been a farmer all his life. He ran up to the captain and he said, sir, I'd like to join up to fight in this army. I'd like to be one of these Confederate soldiers. I mean, when they walked by, they got that old man stirred up and he wanted to be a part of that army. And the captain said, you know, sir, we appreciate your enthusiasm. We appreciate your longing, but we cannot have you. It's too old. There's no way you can keep up. There's no way you can fight like we need you to fight. Amen. He said, as they begin to march, they notice in the back of that line, that old brother, that old timer had grabbed him a hoe, and he's a marching just like everybody else. He was right in step. Amen. Right behind them boys. Said somebody asked him, amen, what in the world are you doing? He said, I might can't fight with them like I used to. But when we go through town, they're going to know whose side I am on. Amen. Why don't you pick your side tonight? I said, why don't you go ahead and make up your mind? I've had enough of running. I've had enough of letting the world dictate how I'm going to live. Amen. Bowing under pressure of my friends. Tonight I'm getting in the altar and I'm going to dig it out for myself. Tonight I'm going to get in the altar. I'm going to get me a new plot. That's my bean field. Amen. That's my lentils. And I'm going to fight for it. Amen. Horse feed. Bean soup. I was talking to Brother Stoker about it. He said, don't mount to a hill of beans. Had somebody tell me one time, what you got ain't worth nothing nowadays. That's cause you ain't got it. Oh, amen. That's cause you ain't got it like I got it. Amen. That's cause you ain't fought for it like I fought for it. Amen. It might look like a raggedy patch. It might look like it ain't gonna produce no fruit. But can I tell the devil tonight, if Brother Russell McDonald was here, he'd say, I'd like to shout in the mouth of hell. Let me go a little bit farther and shout in the belly of hell. Amen. It's my fear. And I ain't a giving it up. I said it's my field. And I ain't a giving it up. I'm going to fight for it tonight. I said I'm going to stand and proclaim. Amen, it's worth it. I said it's worth it. Can somebody lift your hand and worship the Lord tonight? Where's my boy at? Come here, Seth. Come here, Seth, quick. Come here. Amen. Hallelujah. Come stand right up here beside Daddy. Whew. You tell me this ain't worth telling the world I ain't gonna compromise. You tell me that when he grows up, the Lord tarries, he can look at mom and daddy and say one thing about them. They were the same. Hallelujah. Amen.
He knows how to throw a baseball. He can do different things. And I'm proud of him. I mean, I am proud of my children. But one thing I want to teach him. Amen. Come here, boy. Put that hand on that hoe. Put that other one on there. I want to teach him, hey, daddy ain't always going to be around. Daddy ain't always going to be able to be there for you. Why don't you go ahead and learn how to use it now. Amen. I said learn how to use it now. I thought about last night I preached and it fell on the altar. It might not mean nothing to you, but the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said he's learning how to dig. He's learning how to dig. Some say it's silly. Some say they're wasting time. Some say they're just pretending. Some say they're doing it for show. I say they're trying to imitate mama and daddy. Come out of a shunder of a hut. Amen. Why don't you deny mama? Why don't you deny daddy? Teach your children the value of defending the plot.
Sit back down, buddy. I'm closing. Amen. They worked their field. He worked his field. There came a time he warred for his future. We got something worth fighting for. There's going to come a day. It's going to get a lot worse than it is now. We know that. It's going to take a determination. The name Shammah means astonishment. Not only means astonishment, but it means a wonderful thing. And what a wonderful thing it is to see a young person pick up that tool and say, I'm going to fight. The Bible said he stood. Amen. Strong said that is to take one's stand. The Bible said he stood in the midst of that field and defended it. I don't know what kind of weapon he had. Amen. But I can see him standing there. He's got Philistines on the right, left. Got it right. The right and the left. Amen. He might get that later. He had them in front of him and behind him. I mean, no doubt they was all around him. Amen. But old Shammah made up his mind. I might go down, but I'm going down a swinging. I said, I might go down tonight. Oh, hallelujah. He might knock me down, but rejoice not against me, all mine enemies. For when I fall, I shall arise. And let me tell you something, devil. When I come up, I'm coming up swinging. Amen. I'm coming up a fire. Ow! Years ago, we was growing up down just a few miles from here in Milan, Georgia. We ain't have nothing to do but play ball. That's all we did, winter, summer. We played baseball. Some of you played basketball. I can't shoot. Amen, but I played baseball. And we didn't take off our shirts. It wasn't skins against shirts, but it was blacks against whites. We wasn't racist. We got along. We had a good time. And it'd be the black boys against the white boys. We was friends, still are. Friends with a lot of them. Amen, there's our friends. There's our pals. Amen. We treat them right. They come to my house. Amen. We ain't make no difference. God's children. Some of you quiet on that. Whew. Amen. You ain't going to be racist and go to heaven. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Amen. And, amen. We was out there one day. It got a little heated. I don't remember exactly what happened, but I don't know if somebody got hit by a pitch. Or you know how boys are. There's a lot of jawing going on. And we got to jawing back and forth. And before I know it, it was a standoff. Whites against blacks. And we spent about 15 minutes probably telling what we were going to do. Amen. If they let me go, you better watch out. Amen. If I get a hold of you, I'm going to tear you apart. Just let me get my hands on you. Amen. Just let me throw one punch and it's going to be, one boy said, ain't nothing between me but air. Me and you, air and opportunity. There goes the air. Amen. I mean, we was ready to fight. So we thought, wasn't nothing but a bunch of air going on. That's right. It's full of hot air. That's what we were. But I remember there's an old boy named T-Rell Ellis. And I seen him some years back and he looked about the same. Oh, you know T-Rell. He's a drunk there in Milan. I mean, drank there back then. He didn't. He was young. But I mean, skinny as a rail. Probably soaking wet. He might have weighed 65, 70 pounds. He took off his shirt. He got right in the middle of that bunch. He squared back his shoulders. And he said, I got something to say. He said, if we going to get it on, let's get it on. Amen. I'm telling the church tonight, you sit back long enough, go ahead and fold up your arms and sit there like a dead head. Amen. Dried up. Go ahead. Amen. You don't know. You've lost your desire to fight. I'm telling you, Broxton, holding this campground. I'm telling you, Calvary, holding this youth. You're worth fighting for. I'll go for you. I'll fight for you. Hey, would you help me? I said, would you help me? Raise your hands and worship the Lord tonight. He defended the field. But I read a part that really got to me. That last part, that verse. The Bible said he slew the Philistines. But a lot of folks leave it at that. That Shamuel was a mighty man. He was. If I can put it like this, he's a hoss. Amen. He's a hoss. Hallelujah. I wouldn't want to mess with him. Amen. But you know what? The Bible said that Shammah stood in the midst of the field and he defended it and he slew the Philistines and the Lord wrought. He didn't say victory, but he said a great victory. I'm telling you, if you'll stand, God will help you stand. Amen. If he won't compromise, if he won't back up, I said, God will empower you. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I've been fighting and it's got heavy. I've been fighting and I've got weary. But all of a sudden, I felt a hand on my hand. All of a sudden, I felt a touch from above. And God, I said, God brought the victory. Pretty silly to walk around with a wreck, ain't it? I imagine it's going to come back to haunt me. But hey, it's worth it. When they drive by, I'm getting ready to close. They drive by. They see in the heat of the day. He's crazy. Why in the world? They don't understand. They just don't understand. I obey the Lord. Have you ever thought that you're hoeing? You just ain't getting nowhere. Oh, this old bean patch. It don't mean much to some. But you know what? It's your bean patch. It's worth fighting for. Have you ever felt like just, I ain't going to teach Sunday school no more? Sister Patty, have you ever felt like, I sure wish Kyle just stopped pastoring? Let's go somewhere, set up under somebody. Have church. Brother Ben, have you ever fought till you couldn't fight no more and thought it ain't worth it? You look at that little boy. Hey, man, you look at that little girl you got, and you realize it's worth fighting for. Hey, man, boys. Boys, have you ever fought when they looked at you? Hey, man, they say, well, he's different. He don't fit in. He's not like us. He don't go where we go. He don't do what we do. Have you ever thought, man, this ain't much of a bean patch? I'm telling you what, if you can look at it from where I'm standing, it's a bean patch worth fighting for. I said it's a bean patch worth fighting for. But what I'm wondering tonight, does some of you know how to fight? I said, do you know how to fight? I wish I could get a saint of God and to come up to the front of this church right now and say, young folks, I'll fight for you. I'll fight with you. Hey, man, I'm not going to fight against you. I'll show you how to yield a sword. I'll show you how to plow the field. Can I get a saint of God to help me? Can I get a gray-haired saint and a step out and say, I'll fight. I'll fight. It's our bean patch. It's ours. Stand right here for me, Brother Archie. I know you are. Grab that rake, Brother Herschel. Keep that knob, Brother Lewis. Keep it in your hands. I don't know you like others do. I heard about the years. Here's the influence on my family. You hear me? Influence on my family. I heard about the years you stayed up late. I heard about the years, hey man, that you had to fight angry mamas and daddies when you had to discipline children. Hey man, when things came against you. Hey man, when they nominated you the next year, you said yes. Even though you were leery, even though you were weary, even though you were tired in body, you said, I want to make a difference. Hey man, I told my wife the other day, I said sometimes my children, if my boy sometimes had his way, Daddy wouldn't be on youth camp committee. I love my children. I love my children. But you don't get to see them at youth camp. You don't get to spend the time with them on the playground. You don't get to go places with them when you're doing stuff. I told my wife, hey man, I know people can do it better than I can. I know there's probably other more capable. I told my wife, she said, but if you don't fight, hey man, I didn't say in these words, but said, if you don't stand and take the position, who is? Hey man, I know that you brothers had to move on. I know that, hey man, it was time for somebody else maybe to step in, but I am honored. I said, I am honored to take the tool and say, brother, I can't do it like you can. But thank you for teaching me how to fight. Hey, I said, thank you for teaching me how to fight. I don't want no put on. I want some sincerity. Brother Tony, you know that song? I promised him I'd make him a soldier. Can you and somebody else maybe get that for me right now? Or whatever. It didn't have to be that. Whatever you feel like singing. Amen. Whatever you feel like singing. Whatever you feel like getting. Come here, Brother Sellers. Stand all. You keep that. Keep it, Brother Archie. Come here and stand right here, Brother Sellers, if you would. I've seen you work the altars. And I've seen you work this. I seen you stand and testify when nobody else would.
Take this shovel. It's a little wider than some. You'll take it and back off about 6 or 7 inches and get you that much earth in front of it. Bury this shovel. Pick it up and put it on the wagon. It'll do something to your arms if you're still a young man.
Yeah.
Come here, Donnie. Exercise.
Working's good for people.
Come on.
And people that's too good to work, they need to take another lesson. Work's good for you. It's not good for children to be brought up and not learn to do some things and get some responsibility. My daddy taught me to work. Whenever I was 5 or 6 years old, I wondered if he could hitch the horse up to the wagon or to the plow without me helping him. Of course, I know he did, but I helped him enough that I wondered, how would he do it if I weren't helping him? Working is good for people. And if we'll work for God, we'll get paid for it. It's not good to have an idle mind. In the fifth grade, I believe it was, our teacher told the class, an idle mind is a devil's workshop.
Yes.
You need something to occupy you. My daddy said it's good for boys. If they don't have anything to do, give them a shovel and put them to digging holes and then filling them up. Give them something to do.
Yes.
Our mind needs to be occupied with something other than foolishness and folly.
Come on.
You let your mind run idle too long. The devil's going to make suggestions to you that won't be good for you if you follow his suggestions. But we need to keep our mind stayed on the Lord. He'll keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him.
Thank God. Thank God for the Brother Sellers. Thank God for the Brother Herschel Smiths. Thank God for the Brother Tommy Stewarts. Thank God for Brother Archie Morgan. Thank God for Brother Vernon Hughes. Amen. Thank God for Brother Eds. Amen. Thank God for these older ones. For Brother Tim Smith. Amen. Others that have went ahead. Amen. I've heard them talk, Brother Tim. I didn't know it. I've heard them talk. He said before he's sick, before his back got down. Down. Hey man, he was alive for the party. Said he'd wrestle with those boys. He'd have a time. Hey man, that might not mean much to some, but it does to me. Hey man, thank God, Brother Sellers. You taught this boy how to dig. I said, thank God for Brother Donnell. Aren't you glad that Brother Sellers taught him how to dig? Aren't you glad he's among us tonight because a daddy and a mama prayed and taught their child the value of an experience.
When I was 15, me and my daddy was in the woods getting some wood. Across the branch, we heard a noise. We got a way to where we could get across. And over on the sandy side of a hill, well, it was a sand hill, not extremely high, but there was a man over there throwing sand in his wagon. He'd come back there on Daddy's place to get him some sand to do something with, and I offered to help him some. He said, boy, you can't put a shovel full of dirt in that wagon. But I showed him I could.
Oh, yeah.
When it come time, when I was helping my daddy a lot of time, it come time to pick up a cross tie and put it over the fence. I would stoop down, and I put my shoulder about halfway that cross tie, and I would raise up with it, and over the fence it would go. My daddy told me after he got to be, I called him old. Well, I never have called him an old man, not yet. But he was up in years, not as old as I am now. But he said, son, if you'll wait, I'll help you. But I'd grab that cross tie, and I'd throw it over the fence. He says, I can't jump at it like I used to. I can't hurry at it like I used to. I can't jump at it like you can. But if you'll wait a minute, I'll help you lift it. Oh, let's work, let's work.
Amen. I don't want to embarrass nobody tonight.
I don't want to single the crowd out. Amen. But I look at this tonight and my heart is touched. Amen. Last night, not even knowing I was going to preach this tonight, last night we was out by the family dorm. And, amen. Brother Donnell, Sister Lisa can tell you. I was talking to him. Amen. Brother Kyle can tell you. I talked to him today about it. Brother Joy can tell you. I talked to him today about it. I said, Brother Donnell, I said, if nobody else ain't noticed, amen, I've noticed how Cody has stepped up. Amen. I watched the work ethic in him. It seemed like these past couple of days that has touched my heart. Amen. And there's one thing I've heard said time and time again. Amen. There's one, I think it might have been Brother Kyle said, I ain't never seen a lazy sellers. They know how to work. I know your daddy's taught you how to work in the field. I know your daddy's taught you about the animals. But what I want to know, is you brave enough tonight to step out? Amen. Come with Grandpa and Daddy and say, Daddy, I know you've worked. I know you taught. But I want to take the shovel and dig it out. I want to take the wheel. I'm telling you, hey, my worship the Lord tonight. Hey, let me ask you something, Brother Herschel. I don't want to put you on the spot. We got a bunch of young folks standing up. Hey, man, what would you tell them to do? Would you tell them just to sit back down, wait till it's over with, let's go eat supper and go home? Or would you say it's going to be worth the effort?
It's worth it, Brother Jim. It's worth it.
I wonder tonight, as this crowd is on its feet, I wonder as they get ready to sing, I wonder who will be the first young person that'll walk up to Brother Archie Morgan and say, I'll hold a while. I wonder who will be the first young man. Give me some holiness right now before you come. I want some older saints of God, some ladies. Amen. Amen. I said, I want some older saints of God, some ladies. Amen. That uphold the path. Come on, Sister Stewart. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And some of you might not consider yourself that old. Amen. But God get some, amen, some married ladies and might be a little older than some. Amen. You've worked and you've told. Sister Melanie, come on. You might not be that old. Amen. But you've told around here. Amen. Give me somebody else to step out tonight. Amen. I've walked the grounds. I've stayed in the dorms. Amen. Sister Patty, come on up. Amen. I've been there. I've had sleepless nights. I've had times when I was ready to go home because I was tired. But it's been worth the labor. It's been worth the labor to see the fruit of the field. Amen. I wonder. Amen. I wonder, some of you young folk, boys, are you ready to work? Are you ready to have a good youth camp? Are you ready to dig in? I wonder who'll be the first young lady to step out and say, amen, Sister Sherry, Sister Melanie, you worked, but now I want you to help me. I pray that I can work the field for a while, and I can learn to dig. Who's going to be the first to step out tonight? The altar's open. I said, who's going to be the first? I'm telling you, it's worth it tonight. Come on, young folks. I want your hands lifted. I want your eyes towards heaven. Worship the Lord tonight.